Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I haven't been here in almost 2 months, and it is such a delight to see all of you. It's, such a great pleasure and joy. That's what we're talking about today, pleasure and joy, and this is one of mine, seeing all of your faces. And I just wanted to let you know every one of you is so welcome here. You're welcome here if you're here this morning in person, if you're watching online, if you're watching the recorded service, each and every one of you is welcome. And if you're at home watching a recorded service, or if you're at home watching a live stream, we are going to do chocolate and fruit communion here in the sanctuary. So if you've got some chocolate or fruit at your house, you might want to just grab some up. If you don't, something at your house you find really pleasurable to taste would be a great thing for you. And so you're all welcome here. You're welcome here no matter who you are, who you love, how you are feeling today. You are welcome here if you make it a part of your life to feel joy and pleasure each day, or if you cannot actually remember the last time you felt that way. Everyone is welcome here. So today I have a couple announcements. If you didn't hear that, you should turn off your phones. Please do. It keeps the bandwidth down for people at home. We are now in low risk, which means we can eat together, we can sing together, but we do keep our masks on in the sanctuary so that everyone feels safe. And today we have a really important event in the life of West Hills UU Fellowship, which is our longtime 7-year administrator, Pat Lichen, is retiring on Tuesday. And today we are celebrating her with a party. There will be cake. So I hope that you will come and see her and wish her well. If you were watching live stream, if you could just, if you could come here after services to help in that celebration, we would love to have you. So Brad, will you light this chalice? The chalice is the symbol of our faith, and I light it before the witness of all of our ancestors and all of our descendants. I light it for joy and pleasure and contentment and anything that sparks the deep flaming aliveness within us. So now we're going to do our affirmation. And, you know, over the summer I was gone, and I did a lot of thinking about our liturgy, and we're just going to have some slight changes over the next few weeks. And one of them is we are slightly changing the words of our affirmation to just sort of widen the things that we are committed to and we want to open our eyes and hearts to. So join me. The words are on the screen. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to one another and our neighbors.
Hello, my name is Brad Hewitt, and my pronouns are he and him, and I'm delighted to be your lay leader this morning on this fine, cool morning as we enjoy the clouds drifting over us. I have an opening reading by Mary Oliver. Have you ever seen anything in your life more wonderful than the way the sun, evening, relaxed and easy, floats toward the horizon and into the clouds or the hills or the rumpled sea and is gone? And how it slides again out of the blackness every morning on the other side of the world, like a red flower, streaming upward on its heavenly oils, say on a morning in early summer, and at its perfect imperial distance. And have you ever felt for anything such wild love? Do you think there is anywhere in any language a word billowing enough for the pleasure that fills you as the sun reaches out, as it warms you, as you stand there, empty-handed? Or have you too turned from this world? Or have you too gone crazy for power, for things? All right, if you please join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. And let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
Now it's time for prayer, meditation, or reflection, as is your tradition. And we have these words from the Reverend Victoria Safford. What if there was a universe, a cosmos, which began in shining blackness out of nothing, out of fire, out of a single silent breath? And into it came billions and billions of stars, stars beyond imagining, and near one of them a world, a blue-green world, so beautiful that learned clergymen could not even speak about it cogently, and brilliant scientists with their physics and their mathematics, their empirical impressionistic musings, in trying to describe it, would begin to sound like poets. What if there were a universe in which a world was born out of a smallish star, and into that world at some point flew red-winged blackbirds, and into it swam sperm whales, and into it bloomed crocuses, and into it blew wind to lift the tiniest hairs on naked arms. And into it at some point grew onions, out of soil, and in went Mount Everest, and also the coyote. Into that world came animals and elements and plants and imagination, the mind and the mind's eye. If such a universe existed and you noticed it, what would you do? What song would come out of your mouth? What prayer? What praises? What sacred offering? What whirling dance? What religion and what reverential gesture would you make to greet the world every single day you were in it? Let us be grateful today for the wonder of existence. Amen.
It's beautiful to hear your voices. I have a reading by poet Lee Young Lee. From blossoms comes this brown paper bag of peaches. We bought from the joy at the bend of the road where we turned toward a sign painted peaches. From laden boughs, from hands, from sweet fellowship in the bends comes nectar at the roadside. Succulent peaches we devour, dusty skin and all. Comes the familiar dust of summer, dust we eat. Oh, to take what we love inside, to carry within us an orchard, to eat not only the skin but the shade, not only the sugar but the days, to hold the fruit in our hands, adore it, then bite into the round jubilance of peach. There are days we live as if death were nowhere, in the background. From joy to joy to joy, from wing to wing, from blossom, to impossible blossom, to sweet impossible blossom.
You might not know it, or you might not think you know it, but it's the same tune as This Little Light of Mine. So if you know that, you'll catch on very quickly.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me.
Come on now.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me.
The world didn't give it.
The world can't take it away from me. Love,
it's love that I have. The world didn't give it to me. Come on now.
It's love that I have.
The world didn't give it to me. Everybody sing.
It's love that I have.
The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it.
The world can't take it away from me. Peace.
This peace
that I have.
The world didn't give it to me.
This peace that I have.
The world didn't give it to me.
This peace that I have. The world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away from me.
Pride.
This pride that I have.
The world didn't give it to me.
Come on now.
This pride that I have. The world didn't give it to me.
Oh,
this pride that I have. The world didn't give it to me.
The world didn't give it.
The world can't take it away from me.
Back to joy.
This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me.
Come on again.
This joy that I have.
The world didn't give it to me.
One more time.
This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me.
The world didn't give it.
The world can't take it away from me.
The world didn't give it.
The world can't take it away.
So this morning, we are going to be talking about pleasure activism. And if there is a theme song to pleasure activism, that would be the theme song, which is, I have joy, and it can't be taken away. It's foundational to who I am as a human being. And there's power in that. So that is what we are talking about today. So recently, I was in Tyron State Park with a friend. And we leaned over one of those bridges in the park and looked down into the ravine, and below it was all filled with blackberries, which were all interwoven with morning glories, which in my nightmare are the worst of the weeds both. But they were beautiful. And the morning glories were blooming in these white, bright, round flowers. And this little fuzzy bee, maybe bumblebee-ish, came flying along and crawled down into the hole of the flower. And then it rolled around like a little puppy on the ground. And then it came back out and it dived into the next flower. And it just rolled around like a puppy. It was just unadulterated joy. And we watched while it went from one flower to the next. And each year we celebrate chocolate and fruit communion to remember this particular thing, that the world is full of sweetness and goodness and joy, and that it is our birthright to feel those things. Sometimes, especially when life is falling apart or there's hard things in the news or in our own lives, we wonder, what is the purpose of life? And this is one thing that I don't, that we are meant for joy and pleasure. We were made that way. And our bodies were meant to experience pure, full aliveness, joy, happiness, and pleasure. And this is surely, no matter what else we think, one of the purposes of life. I mean, you don't have to think about this much to consider infants, of all mammalian species at least, that they have this pleasure of warm bodies next to theirs, caresses, warm voices, and the sweetness, creaminess of milk. It is our first experience to be truly alive and encompassed in pleasure. So in response to this truth, Adrienne Marie Brown, who is a Black writer, activist, and philosopher, has made a commitment to pleasure activism, which aren't two words we often hear together, are they? And she says, despite what capitalism has taught us, pleasure is neither a commodity or a reward. It is a foundational human need. Brown defines pleasure activism as the work that we do to reclaim our whole, happy, and satisfiable selves from the impacts, delusions, and limitations of oppression and or supremacy. For Brown, there are two prongs to pleasure activism. The first is to make justice and liberation work the most pleasurable thing that we do. We often think of it as drudgery, as something that we're supposed to do, but is a lot of work and hard. And she says, why? You know, let's make it fun. Let's have a good time together. And the second is that knowing and prioritizing, our own pleasure, making it first, because it gets lost under the weight of oppression. And I would just say one of the simplest definitions of oppression is this idea that there is one normal way to be human, and that way is rewarded with, you know, money, prestige, and all these other things, and other ways of being human and looking are marginalized and oppressed and are told that they're wrong and get the worst jobs, less health care, less capacity to live full lives. And our personal limitation and the liberation of all of us is to reclaim that we have a foundation of pleasure and joy as human beings, that none of us are oppressed or wrong in any way, and we can have joy, and not just a consumerist hit. So today we celebrate chocolate and fruit communion, and I just want to acknowledge that some of you find the word communion to be challenging and difficult, and I persist in using it because communion has the same root as the word community, which means together. And a ritual of communion is one that brings us together. And I know it often is, you know, simply associated with a Catholic ritual, but it can be any kind of ritual that brings us together. And so in the face of community and community, I have asked one of our community ministers, Leslie Becknell-Marks, to join me in a conversation about pleasure activism. So thank you, Leslie, for agreeing to do this. We're actually going to ask you to be in a little bit of conversation, too, so we're kind of modeling that. And so, Leslie, do you have anything that you want to begin with, a story or something that you would like to share about this?
Yeah, I had a recent experience of joy that is really different from your puppy bee rolling around in the flower. I went to Santa Cruz to spend time with some people who live there in intentional community, really focused on liberation and kind of just becoming more of who they can be as human beings. And I arrived in my friend's car, which was, I believe, a 2005, maybe, a very old Forester. And we pulled in, and someone immediately swept my luggage away. And I'm like, well, this is great. And then I got out of the car, and I'm like, oh. The whatever part of me was like, this is not such a nice place. A friend of mine who has also been there, as I was kind of talking about this first reaction, was like, well, yeah, it's a dump. I was like, okay, well, that is the shorthand way to describe it. And so I walk in, and I'm, like, you know, just orienting myself. And the next morning, there's breakfast, and it's all mismatched plates and this kind of hodgepodge of silverware. And in the daylight, I can see, wow, there's really, like, no landscaping. This is you know, kind of barren and untended to. But I discovered this spoon that I loved in the hodgepodge, which has those kind of like asterisk-like shapes from the 70s. It was super sturdy. So, like, there was, like, treasure in that hodgepodge. And then I saw the 7-year-old who lives there bouncing one of those giant balls that, you know, you're supposed to sit on, like, bouncing it on the bare ground that I was, like, the unlandscaped ground, the ground that should be grass, having such a good time, you know, using this yoga ball in an inappropriate way. And, you know, I harvested tomatoes and basils for my breakfast, and I got to have meals with people, meals that I mostly didn't prepare at this really simple picnic table outside or the table in the kitchen. And I so quickly forgot that I was in a dump and was just so thrilled to have people to interact with without pressure, like you could talk, you didn't have to talk. Really meaningful conversations. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to live like this. I don't care if I ever see landscaping again. So that's my pleasure story. And I think, like, the word pleasure is, I don't know, a little chargy maybe for some people. Like, pleasure, what did she say? A fundamental human need? I mean, that sounds true to me. But, like, I don't know, isn't pleasure kind of just for fun? Is it really serious enough, worthy enough? I don't know. How is that related to activism?
Well, it's really interesting. I definitely have had those thoughts as I've been doing so much research on pleasure activism. And, you know, we come out of this Calvinist culture. Like, we came right from the Calvinists, and we're like, yeah, no pleasure, never. That's not how it's supposed to go. And we still sort of have a little bit of that, like, the productive life, you were supposed to work, and it's supposed to be serious, and, you know, like, that's how it's supposed to be. But Adrienne Marie Brown and other pleasure activists really argue that pleasure is fundamentally about power. When we allow ourselves, especially people who have been long marginalized, allow ourselves to experience joy and pleasure and satisfaction, we discover the core of who we are. You really have to sort of attend. Like, what brings me pleasure? What brings me joy? And that's a very vulnerable place, because that's a very vulnerable state to be open to pleasure and to joy. And that those powerful feelings that come through us, you know, when we're cuddling with our dog or our child or someone we love, if we're just immersed in a book or we're laying in the sun, all those feelings of just letting go into what most pleases us. And to know what that feels like in our bodies, and that it is our birthright, is a foundation that we can build into the world, that we can bring that knowledge of ourselves as worthy, lovable beings, worthy of pleasure and joy, because we've experienced it and we allow it. We are like, this is part of who I am. And the argument is that from that springs power, and that we can work with that power. And often what brings us pleasure is relational, just like what Leslie talked about. Many times it's with other people. And so that bonding through pleasure brings us power together. So it's a long feminist argument, and Audre Lorde is actually the first person in, you know, this group who made that argument. And Adrienne Marie Brown has brought it along.
Yeah, and I think that, like, we're trained what is pleasure, what is joy, how to get it, and that it's often like, well, I'm going to get my joy, and I don't really so much care about your joy, and in fact, I might have to compete with you to get my joy. And there's this idea that, you know, that I've deserved it, I've earned it, and the other people who don't have it must not have, in some way, back to some of those Calvinist roots. And I think that any kind of pleasure that we have at the expense of others isn't real pleasure. There's like this, it's tainted with that. And so how can we, think about pleasure that includes the whole, that enhances everyone's well-being? To me, that's when I start to get a sense of activism about it, the power of that vision, that there can be pleasure for all without having to have a sense of I'm going to get mine and I don't necessarily care if you get yours, and in fact I'm going to ignore the fact that a lot of the things that I'm getting pleasure from are probably coming at a real cost to some of the people who are involved in producing the stuff that I've been convinced will bring me pleasure. Yeah, and I think sometimes it feels like pleasure is all about indulgence. And when I think about indulging, there's the idea of overindulging, like taken to an extreme of addiction, or just, I don't know, ignoring all my responsibilities. So how do we think about that, Tracy?
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that just comes up for me automatically. Like I have this jerk reaction, like, well, if you just make sure that you're experiencing pleasure and joy every single day, doesn't that mean like I'll just like lay on the couch and eat chocolate ice cream and watch funny TV shows? Like, is that where we're going? And so, of course, this always comes up, right? Because it's so easy. I mean, many people take their pleasures into addictions, right, where their lives sort of end because, you know, heroin feels good and you just keep doing that, or whatever, your sugar feels good and you just keep doing that. But part of this whole pleasure activism is really attending to what's enough. Adrienne Marie Brown worked in harm reduction with drugs when she first got out of college, and just really considering, like, okay, this amount of television brings me alive. At what point does that amount of television just numb you out, just disappear you from life? This amount of chocolate ice cream, which is clearly one of my favorites, is such a pleasure and joy on my tongue, and it just feels good. You know, the last half of the pint of Häagen-Dazs is just, like, kind of gross. Like, it's just going in, and your tummy's getting too full. And so it's actually attending to those differences. At what point does it become numbing? At what point does it take you out of your aliveness? Because any of those things make us more alive, but they can also take us out of our aliveness. So it's not just like pleasure at all cost. It's about really acknowledging how much pleasure brings you alive, and then at what point does it take you out of your life. And we are capable of discerning that difference. We utterly are. We all actually know what that feeling is like when you ate too much of whatever the thing was and suddenly you feel sick, right? Yeah, you got to stop before then, right? And so it's not something where you just like dive full in. Yeah.
And what does Adrienne Marie Brown advise us in terms of what are some principles that we might use to cultivate this sense of pleasure or joy in our lives and in our activism, our dreaming and acting on what is possible?
So Adrienne Marie Brown actually has a lot of principles. There's 8 of them, and we're not going to share them all because there's no way you'll ever remember them. But we're just going to share a couple. And she says that what you pay attention to grows. And this is actually just true of almost anything, not just pleasure. But if you're really paying attention to your pleasure and joy, it comes more into your life. This man, we talked about him last year, Ross Gay, wrote The Book of Delights. He's a black professor writing, and he spent a year every day writing down something that delighted him. And one of the things that he discovered was that he got a delight muscle. Like, he became more easily delighted because he was paying attention to delight. And I think that's a really important concept. Mm-hmm. Is there a concept that you liked that of hers?
I loved, she spoke about, when I am happy, it's good for the world. And she talks about it in the context of writing, that she just loves to write, and she can't quite believe that this thing that she loves to do, you know, feeds other people, inspires other people, you know, generates income for her from book publishing. And, you know, it's this like, really? And then she's come to realize that those pieces that just kind of flow out of her in with tons of passion and just fun, like those are the ones that tend to resonate the most or feel the most needed by other people. And so I think that, so I work training leaders to be better leaders, and there's such a focus on what's wrong that I have to get better at, and so little focus on what am I good at that I could get really amazing at. What is like more like what penance do I have to pay to become a better leader, rather than what am I already, what comes to me so naturally that I'm not even aware that I'm doing it. And that's the place where you can make the biggest difference. So you being happy, being in your flow, like that's good for you, but it's also good for the people around you and for whatever it is that you're creating. So those people that have green thumbs, I think they're the people who just love gardening and love getting in the dirt, and then we get to eat their extra tomatoes. So when you're happy, it's good for the world. So I'm curious, Tracy, what is it that brings you pleasure and joy? What like kind of brings you alive?
So I am like Adrienne Marie Brown, actually. Writing really brings me alive. Being here with you on Sundays brings me alive. I like being in worship, and I love just getting to talk to everybody after service. It brings me such pleasure. I also get up every morning and I do sun salutations, and I simply adore some of the shapes and the way they stretch my body and make it feel good and awake and alive. And I am such a fan of berries from the Oregon farmer market. Mm-hmm. Also just... And one more thing. Ella and I have been learning to make ice cream all summer. We make ice cream all the time, and that gives me great pleasure. Mm. How about you? What brings you alive?
Well, it's a lot of the same things that you said, and I have a 13-year-old, and you're going to find this hard to believe, but he still is a snuggler. And so just those moments where I get to snuggle with Aaron, especially kind of knowing that these days could be limited, could be, probably are limited. That's just one of the things for me. And singing, so sweet to be singing together again. Dancing, which I have to say fell off the wayside during the pandemic and hasn't come back up again. So maybe we should have a dance party, maybe part of the auction. And we're curious what brings you all pleasure. And even though you're sitting somewhat social distance, I bet you could find someone close enough to talk to and answer that question.
So the question is, what brings you alive? Just what brings that energy and joy and pleasure through your body? What brings you alive? So find one or two partners, and we're going to give you a little time just to share that. I hope you enjoyed talking to one another. I know the extroverts among you probably really liked it, and the introverts were a little like, but good. Does anybody want to just share one or two things? We could have a mic, but we do need to move on as well. If anyone has...
Just raise your hand.
Just like two people. In the back. Two people.
I love this. Phil Donahue. I haven't got to do it since COVID. You know who Phil Donahue is if you don't have to Google him.
Hi, I'm Sharon Persick. Those of you who know me know I'll always rise to an occasion. For me, it's a smile. My goal is that every interaction I have out and about ends up with that other person feeling better. And I find that by and large, a smile will do it.
That's lovely. Thank you, Sharon. One more person? Okay, we got Gary.
Gary Joquin, a beautifully designed spreadsheet.
And this is true about community. Like, everyone has the thing that brings them alive, right? And they're
different. So, and that's what makes it where it all work. So now we're going to engage in chocolate and fruit communion. And this is just a way that we remember the joy of life, that we put that into practice in our congregation. So today, usually there's a plate of chocolate and there's a plate of fruit, but COVID has just made this all so more complicated. So today we have some wrapped chocolates, both milk chocolate and dark chocolate, so if that feels like what you want and need. My daughter and I were also at the farmer's market yesterday, and she decided that we needed to have chocolate-covered strawberries with the fresh farmer's market strawberries. So we have that as a choice as well, if that feels comfortable to you. We washed our hands and everything, but, you know, it might not feel comfortable anyway, so that's fine. So we're going to begin with a responsive reading from Walt Whitman on miracles. So we're going to split into the right and left sides. So your right is this side, so kind of down the middle in this side, and left is that side, all right? So, all together. I know nothing else but miracles. Every square yard of the surface of the earth is spread with miracles. Every foot of the interior swarms with miracles. So you are all invited forth to come to this community to partake in joy. You will be offered morsels of sweetness. As you do this, please be mindful. Be mindful of your breath, of the steps, of the rustle of each other. As you take a bite of chocolate or chocolate-covered strawberries or whatever is in your home that tastes so delicious on your tongue, feel the joy and the pleasure of it. Let yourself feel it. So the first principle of pleasure activism is to pay attention to what you pay attention to grows. So go forth in the world today and pay attention to your own joy and your own pleasure and grow it. Pay attention to other people's joy and pleasure and help it grow. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again.